This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We are off and running on another College Football Betting Podcast alongside Matt Eumanns. I am Tim Murray. Week 12 of the college football season, the week before rivalry weekend, the final regular season weekend, of course, the weekend after Thanksgiving. At Matt Eumanns 247 on Twitter. I am at 1 Tim Murray. Matt, coming off of a nice 5-3 week. I got back in the positive, so I'm happy about that. 3-2 for yours truly. Matt, 18-9 now over the last 3 weeks, and we'll see if we can keep it rolling. Hopefully, Matt, the Buffalo plus 7.5 ticket that I had on Tuesday evening is not indicative of how the week is going to play out for me, as the Bulls were going into the end zone and decided to fumble it in said end zone, and instead of recovering it, they were out of bounds. So hopefully, maybe I'm due for some positive karma on my side.
Anyone who thinks it's easy to win at sports betting hasn't been doing it very long, because it's not. It's tough. You got to grind it out. Even the best pros, the hardened pros, will tell you got to grind this thing out. It's not going to be easy. And Tim, Saturdays are a sweat like no other. From morning to night, especially now when we got college football and college hoops going on at the same time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you and I love to bet college basketball. That is always a painful endeavor. Oddly enough, my five plays last week, the two losers, rocking chair losers, and my three winners, rocking chair winners. No real sweats on the five of those games. How about Hawaii, by the way? Last play of the card, Matt Eumanns goes with the Rainbow Warriors, catching 20 against Air Force, one outright. We all saw it coming.
Air Force, and a team that's completely fallen apart here in the last couple weeks, losing as a 17.5 and a 20-point favorite to Army and Hawaii. You know, it's you look at Washington State and Air Force and teams like that, and you wonder what the hell's happened here late in the season.
Washington State, they play on Friday night. We'll touch on that game, but we got a lot of games to get to, so let's run through them as quickly as possible. We'll start with the game of the week up in Corvallis, Oregon, 7:30 Eastern on ABC. Number 5, Washington, visiting the Beavers of Oregon State. Washington, a 35-28 victory last week over Utah. Just a reminder, you have to go into the end zone in order to score a touchdown. Don't drop the ball at the 2-yard line. And Oregon State, an easy winner over Stanford. We've seen a flip of favorites. This thing opened Oregon State catching one. And as of record right now, Oregon State either a 2 or 2.5 point favorite. Matt, the Oregon State Beavers, at home. 16-1 ATS over the last 3 years, 16-1 straight up. The only loss last year against USC, 17-14, but they did cover, and it was a play on this podcast, the only non-cover against San Diego State earlier this year. They won 26-9 as a 24-point favorite. 16-1 ATS, Matt Eumanns. What are you doing on Saturday night in Corvallis?
Well, I'm betting Oregon State. I've already played it, and I played it on the money line. I don't like these situations where a team opens as an underdog and closes as a favorite. And here at Circa, Washington opened -2. Talked with Nick Bogdanovich, one of the top college football odds makers here, and he said he makes it a straight pick'em, but he likes Oregon State. So, you know, Washington -2. Now the favorites flipped to Oregon State -2. I played Oregon State in the money line cheap, but you know, it's interesting. You've got an undefeated team with one of the Heisman favorites. And Washington's contending for the Pac-12 title game or college football playoff spot, going on the road now in an underdog role to Oregon State. But I think this Oregon State team's favorite for a reason. Damian Martinez, one of the top running backs in the country, 136 yards rushing, 4 TDs in the first half for Stanford last week. The defense forced 4 interceptions, 4 sacks. Got a 9-game home win streak here for the Beavers. And there are a lot of things with Washington that you can point at here in the past 4 weeks and say, hey, this is a Washington team on wobbly legs, barely surviving as a 4-touchdown favorite against Arizona State, against Stanford. Going to USC and allowing 42 points and really getting lucky to win that game by 10. And then what Washington did last week, coming from down at the half against Utah at home. And by the way, I saw a friend of ours tweet at halftime, what a great job Kyle Whittingham's doing as Utah coach. This is incredible. Save the tweets for after the game. Okay, don't tweet about how great Utah is playing at halftime up four. Can you just sit on that one for a while? As soon as I read that tweet, the game just turns Washington's way. Luckily, the Utes still cover. That was a bizarre second half. But I think Oregon State's legit and probably deserves to be a slight favorite here. But I haven't yet to talk to one person this week who really loves Washington in the game, and that concerns me a little bit because this is a Washington team that deserves respect in the betting market too. And I think some people are going to sit back and say, hey, if this hits three, I'll take Washington plus three. I'm not sure it's going to get to three, though.
Yeah, this feels like the old pros versus Joes matchup. If you go to our betting splits over at VSiN.com, it's very early, but 80-plus percent of the tickets at DraftKings on Washington. I don't have an official play on this game, but I'm with you on the Beavers. My biggest preseason win total was Oregon State over 8 minus $1.20. And they sit with 8 wins, and I'm not hedging off of it. I think they will win this game, so therefore I am backing Oregon State. I think the differences in this game, which is what I love and why I can't wait to watch this game, Matt, Washington struggles to slow down the run. You mentioned Martinez. Fenwick is a guy capable of getting some big plays as well. Oregon State's secondary can be had. You look at the Washington State game, even the game they beat Cal, where they gave up 40 points, and Washington, one of the most prolific passing attacks in the country. So I think it's a fantastic game. It's going to be phenomenal to watch. I lean towards the Beavers. I'm not hedging off my win total or anything like that. I do think Oregon State gets it done here. Certainly no look ahead whatsoever for the Beavs. How about the Beavs' opportunity here moving forward? They can get to the Pac-12 championship. Yeah. All they got to do is beat Washington and Oregon in back-to-back games, but it is certainly out there for them. That game, 7:30 on ABC. On CBS, Matt, number one Georgia. They jumped over Florida State in the most recent college football playoff rankings. They head to good old Rocky Top to take on the Tennessee Volunteers. I was on Tennessee last week, and that was a dead wrong side, as I think Cody Schrager is still running against Tennessee in that one. The hooks, I see a hook still available at DraftKings, but Circa had 10.5 earlier today. This is Thursday, and that was scooped up. How are you looking to attack number one Georgia on the road against Tennessee?
Well, I'm not sure I'm really going to attack this, but I am going to play the Vols. Do you think we're going to see 11 before kickoff?
No.
Probably not?
I don't think so.
I do think this is going to be, you're talking about a pros-Joes game. I wouldn't be surprised if you get a lot of sharper cappers on the Tennessee side and the public on the Georgia side. And I can certainly understand why so many bettors want to play Georgia. If you watched the Vols a week ago, they were a joke. They got blown out at Missouri 36-7. They looked every bit as bad as that score. And if you watch Georgia, yeah, the Bulldogs really impressive. You know, another big win. Brock Bowers is back. Yep. Team's at full strength. This is the Georgia team that's won the back-to-back championships. Well, I think the Bulldogs are going to have to sweat this one out in Knoxville this week. You're going to see Tennessee play. You're going to see a different Tennessee team this week. It's a Vols team that's 6-0 at home, and a Georgia team that really hasn't been tested on the road by a really good team. And you could argue Tennessee's not really good, but hey, Tennessee has lost on the road to Florida, Alabama, Missouri. Those are not bad losses. In fact, the Vols, I thought, played really well in Tuscaloosa in the first half. So this is going to be an unpopular home dog, but I'm going to roll with it. I'm playing Tennessee plus 10.5 if I can't get the 11, but I'm going to look for 11. I'm not sure it's going to be out there.
Yeah, 10.5 out there at DraftKings, so make sure you get that hook, and we'll see if the 11s emerge. I do not think they will. So last week I mentioned Missouri, very impressive, Matt, against Tennessee, winning 36-7 from the jump. I knew I was on the wrong side of that one, and just watched as Cody Schrader ran for 205 yards and had 116 receiving yards for the Missouri Tigers. Rightfully so, the Missouri Tigers now up to 9 in the college football playoff rankings, likely headed to a New Year's Six Bowl. Eli Drinkwitz has done a really good job. Kirby Moore, the new offensive coordinator, formerly of Fresno State, has stepped in as the OC and has excelled there. But I'm going to take Florida plus the 11.5 here on the road at Missouri. I believe your partner on VSiN tonight, Wes Reynolds, is going to take the ugly dog in Florida. Florida coming off of a 52-35 loss to LSU, but that game was 38-35, Matt, in the fourth quarter. LSU is able to get the cover. So far this year, I have bet on Missouri once. We won that bet against Kansas State. I bet against them twice, push against Memphis, and then dead wrong side last week when they played Tennessee. But, you know, I mentioned it last week. I thought, is this a letdown spot for Missouri going up against Tennessee? It certainly wasn't. Well, Matt, is it a letdown spot when you've now played Georgia and Tennessee in back-to-back weeks? It could possibly be. And I think this is something interesting to look at. We've done this before. So on September 16th, Florida closed as a 5-point home dog against Tennessee. They won that game outright. Last week, Missouri closed as a 2-point home dog against Tennessee. They won that game outright. Now, it's not simple math, but you look at the market, and Missouri should be around a 3-point favorite if you just do the basic math there. Florida, 5-point home dog to Tennessee. Missouri, 2-point home dog to Tennessee. Number's 11.5. I'm going to take the Gators here. Chomp, chomp. Betting on Sunbelt Billy. Your guy. You love him. No. Sunbelt Billy, I will take the points.
I kind of like. I actually kind of like to play. There's a lot of ugly dogs, college football and NFL, that I do like this week, and this is one.
Is there an ugly dog in College Park, Maryland? It's us against the world, Michigan against everybody. Well, that everybody might include Matt Eumanns. Much more to go. Breaking down the card here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit vsin.com to check out the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving? Every game, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. All right. Three bets in the books. Two from Matt, one from me. That is Matt Eumanns. I am Tim Murray. Oregon State and Tennessee. Ugly dog there with the Tennessee Volunteers. And I follow with an ugly dog backing, as Matt likes to call him, Sunbelt Billy. Florida, 5-5. Probably not going to make a bowl game with Missouri and Florida State on deck. Well, the Maryland Terrapins, they got to bowl eligibility last weekend in a beautiful football game where no one wanted to score points against Nebraska. They won 13-10, and Michigan did not throw a forward pass. Well, I guess they technically did. It was a defensive pass interference in the second half against Penn State, and they won 24-15. News coming out early on Thursday that Jim Harbaugh will not be on the sideline the remainder of the game. They have accepted the penalty, so he will not be on the sidelines for Maryland and then also the Ohio State game. Michigan against everybody. Sharon Moore still crying about the performance that they had against Penn State. Now they go on the road to take on the Terps. 19.5 available at Circa. 19 still out there. Michigan at Maryland. Could I interest you in an ugly dog here in College Park, Maryland?
Yeah, unfortunately for those who were playing the dog here, the best numbers disappeared because there was at one point 21 or even 22 out there on Michigan as a favorite. And the Terps now 19.5. I think there's a chance we'll see this number go up a little bit on game day, so I haven't bet it yet, but I have intentions to play Maryland here. You know, similar to last week when Hawaii was a 19.5 point underdog to Air Force. You don't need to rush to the window, betting window, or jump on the app, whatever it is, and take 19.5 when you can wait for a better number out there. And last week, Hawaii actually went up to 20.5. I think there's a chance you'll see this game cross back over 20. So I want to take the Terps. You've got a capable quarterback in little Tua. You've actually got a Maryland rushing offense that went for over 100 yards against Nebraska's pretty good stout run defense a week ago. And most importantly, almost every year, Tim, I like to bet against Michigan and Ohio State the week before they play each other. And so you got the Wolverines off the big game at Penn State with Ohio State on deck. Again, no Harbaugh on the sideline. I think the emotions kind of reached a peak last week. Wolverines might be a little bit flat this week. And, you know, Maryland has stood up in the past and really challenged Michigan and Ohio State.
Only lost by 7 last year.
I know. So I think the Terps should be a pretty solid bet to cover this number. And the only thing is, try to get 20. You never know when that's going to matter.
Yeah, I just took a look at the read coming in, the betting splits page, 83% of bets on Michigan. So not a big surprise there. I don't think a bet on the next two games, but let's bring them up and run through them quickly. By the way, Maryland, Michigan, the big noon kickoff on Fox. Big Ten Network, you mentioned betting against Ohio State the week before the showdown in Ann Arbor. Ohio State against Minnesota. Minnesota, good call by Matt last week, got absolutely hammered by Purdue. 28 is available, I see, at one spot. 27.5 readily available for the Golden Gophers. This is an ugly dog there. And then I'll lump in Rutgers, 20.5, as they are playing Penn State. That is noon on FS1. Penn State firing Mike Yurcich, their offensive coordinator. Penn State, I'm looking to back Rutgers here. Like you, haven't bet it yet. I'm not racing to lay or catch 20.5. Maybe we'll get 21 with Rutgers. 7-1 ATS this year, Penn State is, as a dog. However, the one time they did not cover, the week after they lost to Ohio State. So these two ugly dogs, either one interests you. Minnesota catching 27.5 at Ohio State. Rutgers catching 20.5 at Penn State.
I got no interest in the Gophers. I did make a small bet over the total of 48.5 this week, and I was going to play the total for a bigger bet, but now it's bumped up to 50. I'll probably just let that go. I'll just stick with that small bet over 48.5. And the key to this total play is that the Minnesota defense is so bad right now that you think Ohio State should be able to put up 50 if the Buckeyes won.
Purdue, by the way, let me see my notes
here. Purdue put up 604
yards. 604 yards, and Purdue plays Northwestern this week. Northwestern, not known as a juggernaut offensively, Matt, 492 yards against Minnesota.
Yeah. 492 by Northwestern, 604 by Purdue.
If you like player props, might I interest you in Marvin Harrison? Because I might imagine they're going to be throwing the ball to him, at least early on, Matt.
First half.
Yeah.
Here's the thing with Ohio State. Whatever you're going to play for the Buckeyes, look first half, because I think, you know, Ryan Day doesn't always make the smartest decisions. But when you're up big after halftime and you got Michigan on deck, you can't be fooling around with risking injuries in the second half of a game like this against Minnesota. It's going to be out of control. And that was my trepidation, really, Tim, with betting the total, because let's say the Buckeyes are up, you know, 41-3 at halftime. Why not just put on the brakes, or mid-third quarter, put on the brakes and start prepping for the Michigan game? Get guys out of there. Keep guys healthy. That's one thing you have to handicap in situations like this. It could be the handicap, right? It could be the determining factor in the props and how these bets are decided. So even though I think Ohio State's going to steamroll a really bad Minnesota defense here, this is more about the first half, because I think the Buckeyes, don't you think they want to take care of business and just move on? Rest guys and get ready for Michigan.
No doubt about it. Rutgers, Penn State. I don't know where Penn State's head's at. They fire their offensive coordinator. Taking on Rutgers. Rutgers didn't score a point against Iowa. So not official play. I'm looking at Rutgers, but
I'm tempted by Rutgers.
They were up at half against Ohio State. Yeah. So,
well, here's another thing about Penn State. The last time we saw the Nittany Lions go into a big game and get beat was at Ohio State, right? What'd they do the next week?
Laid an egg against Indiana.
32-point home favorite against the Hoosiers, and were lucky to win the game.
Yep.
So I think the Nittany Lions are going to be flat. You can expect them to be flat, kind of a replay of what happened to post-Ohio State.
Noon kickoff, too. So I can't imagine that that striped atmosphere that we saw on Saturday is going to be back there in old Happy Valley. All right, let's go to Tempe. Another ugly dog, potentially. Another look-ahead spot, dare I say. Oregon coming off of a win over USC. Not a cover, though. USC gets in the back door, much to our chagrin, late in that one. Oregon's got the Civil War on deck against Oregon State. They've also got the Pac-12 championship in their sights. Bo Nix is now the Heisman favorite, much to my delight. they are 23.5-point favorites, actually 24.5 as we record this here on this Thursday at Circa. I know you are on the Devils here, and I haven't gotten to the window yet, but I am intrigued by Forks Up in this one. Very, very good spot, it seems like, for the home dog here.
Yeah, I think Arizona State is actually, now we're seeing 24.5 here at Circa. So this is another one of those games. I always mention we send in these plays. I don't always bet these plays before the podcast because if it's sitting on a number like 23.5, I'm not going to take that if I can get 24 or 24.5 sometime before kickoff. And when you're playing underdogs, a lot of times you anticipate the number getting bet up by Saturday because the public's going to come in heavy on some of these favorites. So I'm taking Arizona State. I'm going to play it actually as soon as this podcast taping ends. I'm going to walk out here to the Circuit Sportsbook and take 24.5 because that's the best number you're going to find. Yep. I think that's the best you're going to get. And the Sun Devils team's been playing much better since they made the quarterback switch to Trenton Bourque. They have been outstanding, actually, in terms of improvement offensively. And I think, actually, you got Cameron Scatabo, who's a pretty capable. He's a tough runner. He's like a battering ram. And this Arizona State offense has finally developed an identity. And that was something that was missing early in the season. So I'm really encouraged by the improvements the Sun Devils have made. And they get a big win last week at UCLA. So they got to be playing with a lot of confidence here, too. And, Tim, the Oregon Ducks, probably, even though I'm not going to say they're going to be distracted, the Ducks probably not going to be fully focused on an Arizona State team when you're riding in as a 24-point favorite. You got bigger games in your rearview mirror and bigger games in front of you.
No doubt. Staying in the Pac-12, Matt, let's sneak in one more before the break quickly. 22nd-ranked Utah at number 17, Arizona. We'll call it a pick 'em between Utah and Arizona, 2:30 Eastern on Pac-12 Network. I don't think a play for either one of us. I lean the Wildcats here. Love what I've seen from Noah Fifita, who stepped in for Jaden Delora. You and I have bet Arizona a bunch this year. Is this a spot you're looking to back the Cats?
I don't know if I'm going to or not. You know how much I like Kyle Whittingham and the Utes. And, boy, they were really impressive last week in the first half against Washington. I'm leaning Arizona, but, man, when you see those one-point home favorites, you got to be leery of that. I don't like to bet one-and-a-half, two-point home favorites very often. So, and Arizona's played big game after big game after big game, and at some point you think this team might hit a flat spot.
And it feels like all the value we had has been sucked out of Utah and Arizona. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. Could Texas be in trouble? Another ugly dog? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You'll get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. You can check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up for just $19 for that first month. VSiN.com/subscribe. Alongside Matt Eumanns, I am Tim Murray. As a reminder, please rate, review, and subscribe. Only a handful of weeks left in the college football season, so let's keep those ratings rolling in, and let's get back in those rankings that you see on iTunes and Spotify. The YouTube numbers have been tremendous, and I think all in part to Matt Eumanns. Just people need to see the big guy out there. All right, let's hit on Texas at Iowa State. Jonathan Brooks lost for the season. Big loss there for the Longhorns. I don't think anything that's going to affect the line for a running back. But Matt, going on the road, night game in Ames. You and I tried to go against the Cyclones last week. Look, they're no juggernaut. I think BYU just stinks. But this is an 8 o'clock Eastern, I think 7 o'clock local kickoff. It's going to be, I believe, the all-black uniforms there for the Cyclones. And I won't say Ames is on the level of Corvallis, but if you've watched college football and bet it as long as Matt and I have, you do know weird things happen at night in Ames, Iowa. Texas laying 7.5. Tricky spot for the Longhorns.
I think this is my favorite underdog this week. The Cyclones, I bet it plus 8.5 early in the week. The look-ahead number was closer to 11 at DraftKings. Matt Grill and the guy at DraftKings, I think, put that up at 11 a week ago. Now, Jonathan Brooks, the star running back for Texas, goes down with a blown ACL. And that's a big loss. Okay, it's not worth a lot to the number, maybe a point and a half at most, but Jonathan Brooks rushed for 1,139 yards and 10 touchdowns in 10 games. And this is still a Texas team that barely survived on the road recently against Houston and against TCU. Iowa State's playing better than both of those teams right now. Cyclones last week went to BYU and crushed the Cougars by 32. And Rocco Beck's been playing pretty well at quarterback. Cyclones have won four of their past five. And Matt Campbell as an underdog, I wrote this down, got this from Mark Lawrence's newsletter, Playbook Sports. Matt Campbell, 28-11 ATS as a conference dog and 11-3 against the spread at home as a conference dog. And I think this Texas team's kind of leaking oil, struggling to get to the finish line, Tim. And I think Texas is going to be on high upset alert here. I like the Cyclones actually to win this game.
Ooh, a little outright. Maybe I'll throw that in my Friday picks there when you need a dog of seven or more. I'll stay in the Big 12 here. You know, bowl motivation, not something you want to blindly bet, but there are teams out there that certainly are going to be massively motivated, Matt, to get to bowl eligibility. And I do think Texas Tech is one of those teams. Year two of the Joey McGuire era, and this is a disappointing season for the Red Raiders, there's no doubt. This is a team that some people believed would no doubt go over the win total, but also maybe challenge for the Big 12. And they are sitting here at 5-5, but they're coming off a win against Kansas, and they're playing UCF. UCF was a winner for the both of us last week in a massive letdown spot for Oklahoma State, and they destroyed the Pokes, outgating them 592 to 277, forcing a bunch of turnovers in the rain, and they won by 42 points. R.J. Harvey rushed for over 200 yards for the Knights in that spot, and boy, did they celebrate. In the locker room, Gus Malzahn getting the astronaut jersey, whatever they were wearing that night. UCF's also 5-5. They're trying to get to a bowl game as well. They do get to host Houston next week. Texas Tech, what do they have to do the final week of the season, Matt? Got to go to Austin and play Texas. Not that Joey McGuire anticipates a loss, but let's be real. This is their last home game. This is their best opportunity to get to six wins for bowl eligibility. Baron Morton has actually been pretty solid for them. He's been dealing with some injuries. He's 4-0 this year as a starter. Taj Brooks, he's rushed for over 100 yards in three straight games, seven of the last eight. So as a short favorite, I know the market's moved against me here. It's went from 3 down to 2.5. I think Texas Tech, I'm going to roll with the Red Raiders here. We're going to go guns up in Lubbock, and I'll take Texas Tech 5 o'clock on FS2 for this play for me.
Yeah, I actually kind of like this play as well. I think the short home favorite in Lubbock is probably in a better spot because UCF, as much as we liked the Golden Knights a week ago,
yep,
that was all about the spot and playing against an Oklahoma State team coming off its Super Bowl. UCF took full advantage, blew the Cowboys away. Now you're going on the road after the big celebration and the blowout. I think it's a good time for Texas Tech to catch UCF. I thought about this play as well.
All right, let's go primetime NBC. Another 5-5 versus 5-5 game. Probably didn't expect this to be a battle of 500 and a battle for bowl eligibility. We've got Wisconsin, who have seemed to fall off a little bit here, Matt.
You think so?
Losing to Northwestern last week. They have lost, I believe, 8 games. They're 3-8, I want to say, against the spread this year. It hasn't been pretty for the Badgers. They are taking on Nebraska, who also lost last week. Both of these teams vying for bowl eligibility. It's in Madison. Wisconsin gets Minnesota next week. Nebraska gets Iowa. How are you looking at this one, Matt? Is this the ultimate buy-low spot for Luke Fickell's squad? When you look at the Badgers right now across the market, it is actually on the move back up towards Wisconsin. There were four and a halfs out there earlier today.
Yeah, and I actually laid the 4.5 for a little bit. I also bet Wisconsin on the money line here. You always got to be a little bit cautious about laying points with a team that's not real strong offensively, and that's the Badgers. The first season of Fickell ball in Madison has not been a big success. Luke Fickell called last week embarrassing. Now, it's embarrassing for me, too, because I actually bet Wisconsin over its season win total of 8. Was it 8 or 8.5?
Man, I think it was 8.
So it's turned into such a bad bet, I'm trying to forget it. But anyway, Wisconsin's lost 4 of the last 5 in the last 2 weeks, losing to Indiana and Northwestern. Now, a lot of that has to do with injuries. Tanner Mordecai, the quarterback, went down. Ches Malusi, Braylon Allen, two of the top running backs in the Big Ten, both went down. Well, what you have here, I think you're getting, like you said, the Badgers are kind of the bottom of the market or close to it as 4.5, 5-point favorites. Mordecai's back from the hand injury. Braylon Allen, even though he only had 3 carries last week, is expected to play. Then you look at the Nebraska side. Okay, the quarterback situation is a clown show right now. And last week, Jeff Sims comes in, turns the ball over again. Chuba Purdy, he can't play. Nebraska's got 27 turnovers and a minus 14 turnover margin. Minus 14 turnover margin is still 5-5. But if you look at the quarterback compiled combined quarterback stats for the three guys, I think it's 7 TD passes. It might be 8 TD passes and 14 interceptions. That's how bad the Nebraska quarterback plays, man. I'm not afraid to bet against this team. Again, the Nebraska defense allowed 100 yards rushing last week to the Terps. I think this is kind of a, I'm not going to call it a get-right game, but it's kind of a get-back-on-track game for the Badgers.
All right, laying it with Wisconsin. Let's go noon, Big Ten Network, staying in the Big Ten. Purdue at Northwestern. Matt, you rode with Purdue last week as a home, I think they wanted to close the favorite. Regardless, they won 49-30, put up 600-plus yards of offense. They're now going on the road to Evanston. Big news this week out of Evanston, David Braun, who had never coached at the FBS level prior to getting hired by Pat Fitzgerald, he gets thrust into the interim role when Pat Fitzgerald gets fired, and he's done an incredible job. They're 5-5. They're on the brink of bowl eligibility. They'll probably go to a bowl even if they lose their final two games because of their APR. But they've got an opportunity this weekend. They opened as a 2-point favorite on Sunday at Circa. They are now a 3-point underdog against against Purdue. Northwestern this year thrived in the role of a dog, 5-3 ATS this year. Matt, Ben Bryant is back. Look, is he a world beater at quarterback? No. But is he solid? Yeah, I could say he's solid. 18-16 last week on the road at Wisconsin, threw 2 touchdowns. The players erupted when they heard that David Braun was going to be their coach. They can get to bowl eligibility with this win. I do think this is a good spot to back Northwestern. I'm going against a big market move of 5 points. I know. But Purdue, as a favorite, 0-2 ATS. They haven't played in this role a whole lot. So I'm going to take the Purple Cats plus the 3 here in this spot. Give me Northwestern at home one last time. Let's cover that number.
That's a play for me, too. I'm taking 3 with the Purple Cats. I did not think I was going to get 3 here. No. Now, last week, Purdue closes Purdue is a 2-point home underdog to Minnesota. Now Purdue is a 3-point home favorite against Northwestern.
Like road favorite.
Yeah, 3-point road favorite. And I think this Purple Cats team is going to be fired up about the David Braun news where the interim tag is dropped. Ben Bryant's a veteran quarterback. He's been around a long time. I think he's been in college for 6 years. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
And this Northwestern team, one of the best stories in college football this year. I've got to give David Braun my coach of the year vote. Even though I don't have a coach of the year vote.
Bear Bryant Award talk? You want to do it on the other side?
Can you imagine if this Northwestern team gets to a bowl game?
Maybe they will, as long as they win outright. All right, we got some Friday Night Lights to hit on. We got an ACC game on the CW that Matt's bet. Don't go anywhere. It's the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page, sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can sign up for as low as $19 for that first month. VSiN.com/subscribe. Alongside Matt Humans, I am Tim Murray. Final segment here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, but a bunch more games to touch on. And let's start with a little Friday Night Lights. 10:30 Eastern, FS1, and Washington State. Boy, oh boy, what has happened to the Cougars? They have now dropped 6 in a row after starting 4-0. Colorado, after finding their way into the top 25, they are at 4-6. So both of these teams hoping, clinging to the possibility of bowl eligibility. Seems very unlikely based off of who they will play in the final weeks of the season. Colorado gets Utah. Washington State gets Washington. Washington State laying 4.5, Matt. I don't know if this is an official play for you, but I don't know how you can lay 4.5 with Washington State at this point in the season.
I'm not. It's not a play for me. I'm thinking about putting Washington State on a money line parlay of some sorts, though. Hey, it's okay for some people to say they want to have action on a Friday night game, right? Because I know Friday I'm going to get about 10 texts from people who say, who do you like in a Colorado-Washington State game? You betting this game? I say, well, I'm going to put Washington State in the money line parlay. I do think the team that started 4-0 was not a complete fluke. It's still in there somewhere. Cameron Ward's a really good quarterback, and this Washington State team's got a chance to it's not going to get to a bowl, let's face it. Cougars are not going to beat Washington a week from now. But I think they've got to stop this losing streak. And why not against a poorly coached Colorado team that's in complete disarray right now? I think Washington State in the money line parlay at minus 180 or so is a fair play.
Staying in the Pac-12, I'll hit this one quickly. I took the 7 with Stanford. This might be the ugliest dog of the week. I don't know. Maybe the one I'll give out a little bit later is uglier. But I like Stanford catching a full touchdown here against Cal. I want to say the number open 4.5 or so. I don't know how you can lay 7 with Cal on the road. Let's be honest. The farm is not a massive home field advantage for Stanford, but there are 7s out there. We're showing 6.5, but look around. There are plenty of 7s to be had out there. I like Troy Taylor. I know they got their doors blown off in Corvallis. Everyone does. Look, they've had some really bad games. They've also been feisty at times this year. Cal coming off of a thrilling victory against Washington State last week. This is a rivalry game. Stanford's dropped 2 in a row against Cal, which is a bit unusual. So I'm going to take a full touchdown with the Stanford Cardinal here against the Cal Golden Bears, man.
I don't disagree. Actually, I might bet Stanford as well, but you got to make sure you get 7. DraftKings has got 6.5 right now. There's no reason fooling around with 6.5. You might need that 7. And rivalry games like this against when you got a home dog that's a well-coached team, I'm definitely going to look in that direction.
All right, let's go rapid fire through a couple others before we wrap up with our best bet recap. Matt, let's go to Charlottesville, Virginia. We've seen the market move a little bit with Virginia. The home dog here was as high as, I think, 4.5 earlier this week. It is now sitting at 3.5. Duke dealing with a ton of injuries at the quarterback position. Triple overtime game went late into Saturday night. It was actually really fun to watch. North Carolina's defense is terrible. Duke laying 3.5 against UVA here, Matt.
Well, and I think the Blue Devils are going to be crushed at how they lost that game. You can make a case that the officials screwed Duke over in that game against Carolina.
Yeah, that never happens.
You know, and to lose that game, I think it's got to be deflating for Duke. And this Virginia team is better than some people think. Anthony Calandra, a quarterback, really good against Louisville. 314 yards passing, 89 yards rushing. That was a game I thought the Cavs probably should have won. And the Cardinals found a way to pull it out. So I like Virginia here as a 3.5-point home dog.
Couple other games we don't have bets on, but I'm curious to get your thoughts. I got a couple games I'll hit before we get to the best bet recap as well, Matt. But UNLV, how about the Rebs? Best cover team in college football. The Steam on Friday night here in Vegas, it was as if they knew the outcome, that Wyoming was going to come into Allegiant Stadium and win. And UNLV never really in doubt against the Pokes last weekend, especially from the cover side. Air Force coming off 2 losses. Is this a buy low opportunity for the Falcons laying just 3 at home against UNLV? Or is the market just been inaccurate on this Rebs team all year long?
Well, the market's been inaccurate on Air Force.
9-1 ATS, UNLV.
Air Force last couple weeks, too. So, I don't know. This is a game I'm going to live bet or you know, get involved in some other way because, you know, I haven't heard many people this week who like Air Force. And all of a sudden, a lot of people jumping on this UNLV bandwagon. You're hearing a lot of buzz about the Rebels and Air Force off those 2 big losses as favorites against Army and Hawaii. We don't know if Troy Calhoun's going to be honest about the health of his quarterback, Zach Lerier. He lied about it before the Navy game. And, you know, you have no idea if he's going to be out there. I'm going to live bet this game. I'm not going to play it kickoff. I think you can make it be a contrarian here and make a case and say Air Force minus 3 is a buy low spot.
Real quickly, USC, UCLA. I thought about throwing USC in a money line parlay here. Still might do it. I think UCLA is on quit watch. USC, final game for Caleb Williams at home. Quick thought, UCLA, USC. Chip Kelly probably done in Hollywood.
Yeah, it's rough too. I don't know if it's the right move to push Chip Kelly out or not before the Bruins move to the Big Ten. I think the quarterback situation's been chaotic for the Bruins here for most of the season when it looked like Dante Moore, the freshman, was going to be the answer. Give me 7, and I'll probably jump in with UCLA here because the defense is much better. The Bruins can run the ball, and I think you know what happened last week against Arizona State might be a little bit of an outlier.
All right, Matt, I've got a couple more bets to get to, but before I do that, let's get to your best bet recap here. You have 8 plays on the card coming off a 5-3 week.
I've got 8 plays here for the podcast. I'm probably going to end up with 20-plus bets by Saturday. There's just a lot of things I like in this card. Plus, Tim, you know, you live bet games, you make halftime plays, all sorts of stuff. There's a lot I'm interested in. Plays for the podcast, Virginia plus 3.5. Tennessee plus 10.5, Maryland plus 19.5, the Northwestern Purple Cats plus 3, Arizona State. Now you can grab 24 with the Sun Devils. We call it 23.5 because that's what the number was right before this show. Oregon State minus 2, Iowa State, probably my favorite play on this list, plus 7.5, and then Wisconsin minus 4.5. So 6 dogs, 2 favorites, hopefully another winning week.
All right, it is 18-9 over the last 3 weeks here for Matt's official plays, 5-3 last week. I've got a couple plays I haven't hit on yet, so let's hit them as we put up the best bet recap for me. I mentioned Stanford might be the ugliest dog. Army might be uglier. Army stinks. They're not very good. They have won 2 in a row. They didn't cover last week against Holy Cross of an FCS program. They actually got outgained by the Crusaders in that one, 395 to 269. They beat Air Force, yes, but they had 6 turnovers forced in that game, Matt. So why would I be looking to back the Black Knights? Tell me the motivation for Coastal Carolina this week. I don't know what it is. You got to go up to West Point, New York for a non-conference game. I texted my buddy, Justin Bruce, who's a local meteorologist here for the ABC channel. He said it's going to be raining all day Friday into Saturday morning at West Point. Winds 15 to 25 miles per hour, upper 40s, wind chill low 40s. Coastal Carolina, if you're hoping to see Grayson McCall, he's not playing. He's out. They're playing their third stringer. They have a game against James Madison next week, Matt, that would lock up the Sun Belt East so they could play in the Sun Belt Championship. Give me the points with Army here. Army's last game before they play Navy. They stink, but I'm going to take the points. And I had to readjust this because it was 4.5 this morning. It's now down to 3.5, so Army is one of the
players. How about a low-scoring game? Everything you mentioned there under the total. Is there any way we can set up a bowl game between Army and Iowa?
Who wouldn't want to watch that? By the way, a total of 42.5. Another play that I haven't hit on here. It's part of my best bets. James Madison, again, and they're playing Appalachian State. Sharp money this week, actually, on App State. So it makes me a little bit worried. But James Madison got their appeal denied. Kirk Cignetti, the head coach of James Madison, went to social media and said, what are we going to do, cry about it, or are we going to play with a chip on our shoulder and go out and win? So give me James Madison with Georgia Tech playing Syracuse, both of those, Georgia Tech vying for bowl eligibility in the first year of Brent Key's era down there. So that's around minus 119. The other two best bets, or other four, I should say, Texas Tech plus the minus 2.5, Florida plus 11.5, Northwestern plus 3, Stanford plus the 7. So there you go. A 3-2 week for me last week. For Matt Eumanns, I am Tim Murray. Once again, rate, review, subscribe. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.